Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
Every week we talk about a wonderful story song. And this week we're back with another one of our classic episodes, as we are currently in our hibernation period here at the Story Song Podcast.
So we're all cuddled up in a den together.
The three of us are cuddled up in a way that's making us question our friendships, but let's not talk about that right now. But this is a great one. So for classic episodes, right? Good checklist. Terrible audio. No, this one's pretty good. This is later in the run. Not bad audio. Dan is inexplicably mean. Yes, a lot of that.
Nailed it.
A lot of anger. Yep. A lot of meanness.
More cussing.
I'm not really, well, there's a little bit of cussing. Yeah. I think we'd kind of slowed down on that.
That's true.
Later on in the run. But just really, for no reason, really mean to Sticks.
even though I do later
say how much I like them. So this,
true.
I think, was this the one? I think this is the one where I just go ham on the song Babe, and you're like, that song's good. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, it's good. I just immediately, just a complete 180.
Real quick. Real weird
on that one. But any other thoughts on this episode before we get into it?
Yeah, I think of all the episodes we did about futuristic robots, this is probably my favorite.
I think this is in the top three, I would think. All right, well, domo arigato for that, Michael. Let's get into it. We'll take a listen to this classic episode, and we'll be back at the end to wrap it up.
Can I see this robot in a size 7? This week on the Story Song Podcast.
I hear the tale and all its glory. Three friends who took in Victoria. All the songs that tell a story. It's the Story Song Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Michael Gazelle.
And I'm Rachel Oakes.
Each and every week, we take you through the wonderful world of a story song. And this week, I don't know. It's
we got a weird one for you this week.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Roboto by Styx.
That's with an X, by the way.
Well, in case you were wondering if the song was pretentious, it's named after a Greek mythology thing. It's not like the word Styx. It's like
the band, you know, not the song.
The point is that you basically need to have a degree in literature or something to understand half of
fancy
pantsdom is going on with this band. But anyway, Michael, do your best
to tell us what the hell is going on.
I mean, I'm sure it's not going to help the listeners at home. You're going to need charts, probably, you know. But tell us what's going on in this song.
Walk us through the PowerPoint you've put together.
If you go to slide 3, this, like we said, this is kind of a weird one. Mr. Roboto is the opening track to the 1983 Styx album, Kilroy Was Here. It's a concept album and rock opera. The story of the opera, it's the future. It's a true story.
about the future.
Yeah. Rock and roll has been outlawed.
Finally.
That noisy about rock and roll time. Music. There was an anti-rock and roll group called the MMM, the Majority for Musical Morality. and it was founded by someone named Dr. Everett Righteous. So you really have to read into these names to figure stuff out. The main character in the song is Robert Orrin Charles Kilroy, whose initials spell the word rock.
They're nailing it. Can I just stop to say they are nailing it right now? Before we even get into the story, I love everything that's happening right now, and it's not incredibly dumb.
It's Shakespeare is envious. Kilroy is in jail because he was a rock star.
Okay.
And rock music is banned, and he's a bad person. He escapes from jail by overpowering a robot. Who works in the prison as a prison guard, does menial tasks around the prison. It is the future.
Yeah.
So he overpowers this robot named Mr. Roboto and hides within, I guess, the robot casing. His shell takes out the...
So he defenestrates. Is it defenestrate?
Nope, that's to push someone out a window.
Right. He defenestrates them and then disembowels them.
Right.
Yeah. He takes the robot workings out and hides
the robot's
himself.
Bowels out.
Right.
Yes.
He hides within the inside of the robot and he escapes from prison.
Mm-hmm. It's also, it stinks a lot, but it'd be nice and warm. Is that.
You are such a girl.
I was trying to do the line where they
That's not even close to the line from Star Wars.
Where they slice open the guy.
I'm not even going to dignify you by giving you the correct line. Michael, please continue.
Anyway, so he, disguised as Mr. Roboto, Kilroy escapes from prison and meets up with a young musician named Jonathan Chance, who wants to bring rock and roll back.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like he's their last chance.
Right.
Right.
And also, his initials would in no way be significant.
That's right.
You are the worst, Sticks. You are
as someone. So someone whose initials are JC is going to be the savior of rock and roll.
Yeah.
So they're laying it on pretty thick at this point. Anyway,
you think so?
He disguised as Mr. Roboto, approaches Jonathan Chance, JC, and identifies himself as Kilroy and takes off his robot mask.
Yeah.
And that's where we are in the song Mr. Roboto.
Wow. You know, you didn't even have to say that this song is in the future. All you needed to say was, this is a song by Styx. And we all already know that it's in the future.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
Machine or mannequin.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made in Japan.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
I am the modern man.
Dicks, you are hilarious.
But that's the weird thing about Styx, and we can get into this more later on, but like they've got some songs that are about aliens and robots, and some songs like Babe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that still takes place in the future. You just don't
know. How does that one go?
You know it's you,
Babe. Whenever I get with the other side enough.
Feel like giving up. You know it's
you,
spot on.
Babe. Spot on.
Ugh. This looks not good either. Okay.
I love that song.
I guess so.
I guess you love it.
Hey, we converted him. It was a long process. It was a long battle, but we got Dan on our side.
We converted you as if we are Jonathan Chance ourselves.
Yeah, I gave up real quick on that one.
You really did.
Wow, you did not have strong emotions about it.
I guess it's all right. Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I feel like Styx, that Styx, that's everything Styx with me, which is... I kind of like it, but I also kind of really hate it. Or I should say it opposite. I hate it, except I kind of like it in a weird way.
Right.
Like,
love it.
It's weird. I'm definitely of two minds when it comes to Styx.
I mean,
oh my God, like a human mind and a robot mind?
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
See, it's a real thing.
So, no, the thing about Styx is they have diehard fans.
Oh, I know.
Diehard fans. We went to school with some of them.
Yeah.
Diehard fans. And then they have people like us who are like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that song.
Well, it's like
on the radio.
So the problem for me with Styx is they are definitely talented, and they definitely are technically proficient. It just seems like a lot of talent for dumbness. Like, it's just, at the end of the day, I see all the work you did, and I see how hard you tried, and I see how much talent went into it, and yet who cares? Because it's, like, dumb. Now, I mean, here's
the thing. I see you're saying,
though. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have never gone down the highway with Come Sail Away blasting on the radio. Because if you're on the highway and that song's on the radio and you turn it up and you just sing at the top of your lungs, yes, it's awesome. But the problem is that it doesn't work in all situations. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just hear that song out in the world and I'm like, this song is the worst. Because it kind of is. That's the thing. It's kind of the worst, but it's not totally the worst.
Right.
I get what you're saying, because it's songs that you really like, and then you stop and you think about it, and you're like, is this about a robot?
Right.
Yeah.
This is a really great song. Wait, aliens?
It's just too...
It's a song to... they're a great band to not pay too much attention to.
Yeah. And they're the it's too operatic. Like, it just doesn't work in all situations. Like, Queen was able to pull it off for reasons I don't understand. They were able to do the faux opera thing.
Perfect chemistry.
Styx has the problem of, like, we're doing a faux opera thing, and then it's like, well, we just have Queen and they're better. So do we need you?
Yeah.
Do we need two faux opera fans in the world? I don't know if we do, Styx. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure we need two of them.
Styx
and we have one and they're better than you are.
Styx is the Canadian Queen.
Yeah.
Basically. Are they Canadian?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, we don't have an American one, though, because Queen was British.
Ours would be...
Guys, we have got to form a faux opera group right now. Let's go do it.
I am not sure what we are doing then, if it is not that.
Fun, I think, has a little bit of a...
They are very Queen-y.
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
They won't have the staying power of Queen, but anyway.
Yikes.
I don't think so. Well, I'm just saying, I don't think so.
Some music criticism.
I like them a lot, but I'm not sure. I mean...
Hey, you know what we want to talk about? This song. So... Yeah.
So 45 minutes later. It's,
I love a song that starts in a different language.
Yes.
And this does. It starts as the only thing that anybody ever remembers of this song, which is Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo.
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 And then it says Mata Ohima Day.
Which means?
Well, hold your horses. There's a whole thing, and I'm going to say it in terrible, terrible Japanese. My apologies to our Japanese listeners, which we might actually have, like, two that I would know of. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, Mata Ohima Day. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, Himititsu wo shiritai. I told you, I can't do it.
What does that mean, though?
Here's what it seems to mean. Here's the consensus, that it means thank you very much, Mr. Roboto, yet even more thank you, Mr. Roboto, for not telling my secret. So they're already telling us a little bit of stuff.
Well,
but you don't know it because you're not Japanese. Which I think is a slight, probably at that, it was released in
1983.
I'm sure that's a little bit of a dig at, like, the Japanese, like, electronics and cars coming over at that time.
Probably. Is it a dig or it's just an assumption that, because in the 80s, people just assumed Japan was going to take over the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's what it is. It's like, well, the whole song is about, like, machines are bad.
Right.
Machines will ruin us.
The future is bad.
And meaning Japan will ruin us.
At least at the time. Seriously, though, at the time, though,
the movie Gung Ho.
Yeah.
This is the musical version of the movie Gung Ho.
Right.
But yeah, so yeah, at the time,
George
I think
Wendt, great in both of them.
Yeah. So. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway.
But I think that's what it is it's that kind of thing, like, oh,
absolutely.
Guess what, Japanese people? You're not taking us, our music away.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I just think it was from the vantage point of when the song was written.
Right.
Japan is exploding with technology. Technology is going to take over the world, which means Japan is just going to, whether through force or just through osmosis or just through, you know, natural, they're just going to engulf the world and everything is just going to be Japanese.
Or even that it was just, I think it was just maybe that it was synonymous with technology. So that's why it was.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that too. And also, I think they were just like, we can say stuff in Japanese. It's awesome.
Yeah. How cool does this sound?
Because let's forget that Styx is lame.
You totally shifted, Daniel. Like, and it could be this, or it could be, let's start our song in Japanese. We're Styx.
Well, you know, Styx is the kind of band that's super excited to go research how to say something in Japanese.
Also,
they're really happy about that.
Let's be honest. What rhymes with Mr. Roboto?
Good question.
Arigato.
Yep.
Before we get there, because I do want to talk about that.
Yeah.
So he has, I guess, overpowered a robot.
Sure.
And opened the robot up and then took all the robot stuff out.
Right.
That's got to take hours. I'm sorry. Is he outside of the prison cell when he does this? Like, because have you ever tried to take apart something that's like, there's a ton of little screws.
Yeah.
You need Allen keys. You got to get one of those little tiny screwdrivers.
No, it's like a TV in the 50s that the inner's just like sort of slide right out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those things like you have one of those dolls when you were young with the plastic clothes that just snap together.
Okay.
So he just had to pop it apart and then go get into it and snap it back on.
So it was almost like the robot had like a skeleton and like a muscle system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That he just opened it up and could just remove that part.
That's what I think.
Here's
like a spacesuit.
I want to say this, future prison owners. You have terrible robots. If prisoners can fit inside your robots, this is a great way to be escaping.
Well, I think this was the first one. I don't think they were anticipating many doing this. And then one did it, and they had to rethink their robots.
They have to totally change them, make them really skinny.
It's like that first guy that escapes from Alcatraz. It's like, well, we got to think of something new.
Yeah, I was just saying, this is the future version of like a laundry basket. Like, you climb inside, they push it outside, and then all of a sudden you're outside of prison.
Yeah.
Why don't you just have really skinny robots that no one can get inside of them?
Now they do.
All right.
The technology exists.
That's poor. Yeah, it's poor planning.
Yeah.
It's poor planning. You can't. Because you know, at one point there was a scientist making these robots, and he's like, "Hey Phil, look, I fit into it." And he's like, "That's real funny. You think that's going to be a problem? No,
no one will think of this.
You sure, Phil?
They have robots, but no security cameras.
Yeah,
I also
so as to witness someone ripping apart a robot.
It's not that far in the future.
I also want to say this entire song can be summed up in the line, "Oh no, don't worry, I'm not a robot. I'm actually a guy."
Yeah.
Because that's
what the song is.
Is I've got a secret of hiding under my skin. My heart is human. My blood is boiling. Blah, blah, blah. That he's saying the same thing over and over again is I'm actually just a guy in a robot suit.
Yeah. I'd imagine that it starts like right after he's conquered the robot guard.
Yeah.
Right. And he's put on the thing and he's saying, "Thank you, Mr. Roboto." And then he's walking around
to
Mr. Roboto.
But hold on. He's wearing
talking.
Mr. Roboto's skin. This is getting into some Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Some weird
stuff.
He's saying thank you for saving me. No, no, no. I'm assuming he's walking around like, "Look, I'm a robot." And he's saying, "Thank you, robot outer casing, for helping me escape."
I see. Okay.
And he says, the chorus keeps saying, "Secret, secret, I've got a secret."
Right. But he says, like, "I've got a secret I'm hiding under my skin. So if you see me acting strangely, don't be surprised." Who is he talking to? Nobody? He's just saying.
It's soliloquy. I don't think he's talking
That's
to
fair.
Anyone
he
specific.
Just turns
I'll accept that.
To the other robots, "Ignore me if I start talking like a human."
But yes. I love the fact that he says, "Secret, secret, I've got a secret," so many times. It's like, shut up.
<Yeah. laughs> Stop saying it.
It's not a secret if you tell everyone that you've got a secret.
I got no clue. Half the time, it a little bit seems like he wants to be a robot. Because there is that line of, "My heart is human, my blood is boiling, my brain..." IBM.
Yes. Now,
was the height of technology.
Though I didn't know that. IBM, by the
way. It'd be like, oh my goodness.
IBM.
What a brain.
They went to the moon. I always thought that, I didn't know there was a story to this song, but I thought it was about a guy who was like half robot. And that was his secret. Because it says, "My brain's IBM."
Right.
Now, I think even you have to admit, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because if he's just a guy in a robot casing, his brain is not IBM. He has a human brain.
Right. He's wearing a Halloween costume.
Well, maybe
but I'm
not.
Sure, I'm sure like some of the lights and still work. So he's part robot.
What's happening is he couldn't get all the innards out of the head. So he's kind of like shoving it on. And so a little bit of his brain is getting into the mechanism, and half of his brain is IBM, and the other half is cult.
And it fits in the song. At the end of the day, it's got to fit.
No, like,
my heart is human. My blood is boiling. I once was IBM. Like, no, that's just stupid. That's stupider.
Yeah, I don't care. That's not an excuse, though. You can't go, dude, we got a dumb line because we got to fit something in there.
Why don't you say my find heart a better human. Line? My blood is boiling. I'm not IBM.
Oh, I like that. That works even better. That took her 3 seconds. Sucks, Sticks.
But I think the thing is, he's in a place mentally and physically, like he has to be part robot, part human. He's devoid of emotion because he's escaping from jail, and yeah. He's in an unfeeling world because there is no rock and roll music.
Oh.
Everybody's a robot. Whoa. Everybody's part robot. Up to make
it's a metaphor.
Yeah,
that him being a robot as a metaphor for the way everyone is being.
Yeah.
In a world without the music of Sticks.
I'm not a robot without emotions. I'm not what you see. I've come to help you with your problems so we can be free. I'm not a hero. I'm not a savior. Forget what you know. I'm just a man whose circumstances went beyond his control, beyond my control. Beyond the control. I need control.
He's not a robot without emotions. He's not what you see.
Yeah.
So there's more to him. He doesn't want to be the robots like everyone else. He has emotions. He has music. He's got the music in him. Kiki D.
He says he's come to help you with your problems. That's JC. He's helping. He's going to help JC get free.
I believe so, yeah. Or he just in general, he's helping people with their problems by bringing back the music.
Yeah, but he's not a hero or a savior.
No, he admits to not being that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. He says he's not a hero or a savior. He is. He's a hero.
And well,
he's just a man whose circumstances went beyond his control.
Right, he's just reacting in the moment.
Right.
He's not a hero. He's just doing his best. And then secretly, we know that he is a hero. Yeah. But he's saying, you know, look,
he hasn't proven himself a hero yet.
Right, exactly. And he says
it won't be until like track 7 that he does.
His circumstances went beyond his control, beyond my control. We all need control. I need control. We all need control. So he's concerned with control, apparently. Yeah.
He's got to make sure somebody's in control, just not him.
I like this metaphor idea because I am the modern man who hides behind a mask so no one else can see my true identity. So he's really, in a way, he's kind of all of us, right? Don't we all hide behind masks,
mm-hmm.
right, to hide our true identities?
Isn't that true?
When we put on our robot suits.
Yeah, don't we all live inside a robot, in a way?
In a way, don't we?
If you think about it.
We live within the robots of these microphones.
Right. Okay. That wasn't where I was going
with it. That makes even less sense, but okay.
I like it.
But there was already a song. It was The Stranger by Billy Joel, which is the same thing, which is we don't show our true identities. We hide behind masks.
Well, there could be more than one song about a topic.
Nope.
It's not like...
That song also ends with Kilroy.
Domo arigato. That means thank you. Mr. Roboto is what a 3-year-old would call a robot. Are you kidding me with the Mr. Roboto? Is that the robot's actual name, or that's just what he's calling it?
I think that's what it is. I think it's Mr. Roboto.
It's the Mr. Roboto.
Like Mr. Coffee.
Right, I understand that. But... It's just this one robot called Mr. Roboto?
No, I think
they're all called Mr. Roboto, like Mr. Coffee. There's not one Mr. Coffee, and then there's Steve Coffee and Bill Coffee and Sir Coffee.
I thought he was just literally just like, this is a robot, so he's just calling him Mr. Roboto.
No, I think it's like this is this.
It's the Mr. Roboto 3000 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'll accept
that. It's a machine. It doesn't have an emotion or anything. No, it's a machine.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it would be like if you saw a dog and you started calling him Doggy. That's not his name, but you don't know what to call him. So you saw a robot, you know what to call him, so you just called him Mr. Roboto.
Right.
Hi, person.
If it didn't have a name and he was like, hey there, Mr. Roboto, that does add a little bit of, well, this guy may not be the best person to lead us out of this situation.
And I'm going to say this, dumb name for your robot
that
you made, robot company.
Yeah.
How about you call it something cool like R2-D2 or something? Or RoboCop, Why are you calling it Mr. Roboto?
Yeah, why not RoboGuard?
Yeah, there you go.
You wanna know why? Because Domo Arigato, Mr. RoboGuard does not fall trippingly off the tongue.
Guess what? I don't care. That is not an excuse. You can't say it. That's a fit of the song. Write a better line.
If there's one thing we can say about this, though, Kilroy is very appreciative
of he's the super machines. Into
even though he really thinks that they're the downfall of society and humanity, he really is real glad they're there.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
He thanks them in many languages. Or two, but many times.
Yeah. The problem's plain to see. Too much technology. Machines to save our lives. Machines dehumanize.
Like the first three quarters of this. The problem is plain to see, too much technology, machines to save our lives, machines dehumanize. We get it. Thank you. You don't need to spell it out. We understand.
But here's the thing. Machines dehumanize. He humanized that machine.
Oh.
Not really. It's not really even a machine anymore. It's just clothing.
Yeah. It's not a machine.
It's not a machine. Once you take the innards out, it's not a machine.
Yeah. It's just like...
I'm trying here.
You really are, Michael. And I gotta say, I appreciate the effort.
You do not.
I really do.
I want to make it clear, because I feel like I was being super harsh. And I was doing it for comedy purposes. As well, I do like this song. I mean, it's ridiculous, but
the truth comes out.
No, it's
look who took their own mask off, ladies.
I'm just saying, I don't want people to think. I mean, this song, it's fun. It's dumb. It's a dumb, fun song.
Yeah,
but you know, it's pretty dumb. I'm just making that clear. But it's still, you know, look, I get it. I understood the commercial where he was doing the robot dance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tony Hale.
I'm just saying.
Well done. And then redone in Arrested Development.
That's true.
Here's the thing about those four lines is that goes back and forth and back and forth. The problem's plain to see. All right? There's a problem. Too much technology.
Sure.
Yep. You're right. There could be too much technology. Machines to save our lives.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing they do.
Yes.
Machines dehumanize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that a bad thing? I don't know where you're going with this. And then you thanked him 20,000 times for doing jobs that nobody else wants to do.
Yeah.
This is like...
And for saving him and for being his escaper.
Is this about immigration?
Oh, this is about immigration.
It is. It's in the end. Wouldn't that be hilarious? In the end, it's just like... It's all about the Mexicans or some like weird thing. You're like, oh.
I mean, thank you. I'm going to pick you up in my car take you to my house to do.
Thank you for gardening.
Jobs.
But please.
But come on. There's
speak
too much
English.
Of you.
So the time has come at last.
Well, I mean, but I think he's got, I do actually understand what he's saying. Because then we all have that same relationship to technology where it's like, we like the things that it does for us. But at the same time, we don't like the fact that it, you know, makes us more isolated. And,
yeah.
You know.
We're all in different rooms right now on our cell phones. Nobody can tell that.
We try not to look at each other.
No.
Yeah.
Only look
well,
at
that's,
your...
That has nothing to do with technology.
Only look at your cell phone.
We're just so full of shame. We can't look at each other in the eye. The time's coming to last to throw away this mask. Again, this whole thing is just him saying, by the way, I'm in a robot costume. Now everyone
this is the longest. This is the longest entrance to a Halloween party anybody's ever had.
Now everyone can see my true identity. Secret, secret. I've got a secret.
And then he says, in the most terrifying part of the song, he just screams, I'm Kilroy.
I'm Kilroy. Now, without any context of the rest, I was like, I don't know who Kilroy is.
I never had any idea what that meant.
It's so creepy.
I mean, I just assumed that he was saying, no, I'm Kilroy, the half man, half robot that you've been looking for. and my robot sidekick here, Mr. Roboto, has helped me get here to explain to you who I actually am.
Yeah.
That's what I thought this was about.
You just wanted it to be a buddy comedy about a man and a robot.
Yeah.
Kilroy and Mr. Roboto.
Well, I mean, I'm literally trying to figure it out. We've talked before on the show about context clues. Yeah. There are no context
clues.
There are
none. No, you have to know the story.
I'm literally trying to figure out. I thought he was a half-bat, half-robot, and he's thanking someone named Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
So I just assumed. Or I also thought maybe Mr. Roboto was like the creator of him, who actually was a person.
Right.
Who just had the weird name of Mr. Roboto. I don't know.
This is also a huge reveal for something we have no context right. for.
Within the context of the full story, yes. But in the song, it's just like, okay.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, hi. So do you want something from me? I don't know.
So let me ask you a question, and maybe you don't know. In the story, like how long, or I should say how much time does the opera cover? Because.
I don't know.
Again, this entire song is him walking up to the JC guy and being like, I'm a dude. That's what this entire song is.
That's also the entire plot of The Crying Game.
It's a good point.
Except the mask is in a different place.
Yeah. But it's like that is like in a movie would take 7 seconds.
Right.
This song is, I believe, 24 minutes. I'd have to check, but it's pretty long. No, it's about 7 minutes. But
it's also like it makes you realize that for some reason rock stars are afraid of a future in which rock music is outlawed.
That was definitely a big thing, like in the like 70s and 80s. That came up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were super worried about that. I don't know why.
Where every town would turn into the town from Footloose.
It's true. It's
yeah, the Footloose thing.
I think even the musical, the stage musical, We Will Rock You, the Queen musical, I think it has to do with like a world with no music or something like that. Like everything that has to do with.
But is the 80s the time where all that suppression came from, like the...
Yeah, they had that list of, like...
The list,
not banned songs, but, like, it was when they started doing the parental advisory thing. We talked about this once.
I don't think they wanted to ban songs. They just wanted to put stickers on albums.
Right.
And I don't agree with that, but that is a huge jump from, we want to put a sticker on your album saying there are curse words in here, to, we are outlawing all rock music.
Yeah. Slippery slope.
But they were afraid of that, and they were afraid of technology. And
Well, that's funny that Styx is afraid of technology, because they got synthesizers coming out the wazoo. They're all about technology. It's not like they're playing acoustic guitars.
I didn't think of that.
They use it a lot.
So, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a bit of like a forced persecution complex where it's like these millionaire rock stars are like, oh, everybody hates us. Like, no, nobody does. Like, what are you talking about?
My robot voice is on a vocoder. And then every time he thanks Mr. Roboto, he's like, thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Roboto, for letting me destroy you so that I can get the hell out of here.
What's the religious thing where, like, you thank the animal you're about to kill for the goodness that it's going to get? You know, it's sort of that
thing. Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that, where it's like, you know, thank you for giving up your life so that I could survive.
It's a machine.
Yeah, I don't know, but is it kind of alive, though? I mean, we're not clear on that.
Well,
like, it's sentient. If a robot is sentient, I would say there's an argument to be made that it is alive. Johnny Five alive, okay?
Johnny Five
no,
is alive.
Can I say one thing? Can I say a serious thing right now?
Yeah.
No, disassemble. Okay.
All right. You got me.
Don't cry. I know that movie's sad for you. I know. I know. You know what it makes me cry? Short Circuit 2, because how much it sucks.
And then you go into Batteries Not Included. I can't forget with the big guy who can't speak.
And
oh,
the robot,
God.
They have a baby in the runt of the litter.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he brings it back to life.
That's aliens and robots.
Oh.
That was produced by Styx.
I was going to say. The guy in Styx was like.
Styx movie.
The guy from Styx on that movie was like, they finally did it!
He's like,
combine
yes.
my two favorite things!
Do you need me for the soundtrack? No? Okay.
So anyway, anything else you want to say about this?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well,
no disassemble.
Yeah, that's I would agree with you. No disassemble. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the history of this song with Story Behind the Story. All right, we're back. It's time for Story Behind the Story, the history of Mr. Roboto by Styx, the history of the future, where robots are easily taken apart and you can get inside of them.
They are just shoddily made.
Michael,
Yes, sir.
Tell us the history of this song.
I will. So Mr. Roboto was written by Dennis DeYoung, lead singer of Styx.
Right. That's the guy in the video who looks like someone's dad.
Yeah.
As all rock stars in the late 70s, early 80s looked like.
Yep.
Just some dude.
Yeah.
It was released on February 11th, 1983. Mm-hmm. It hit number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Ooh. And,
that's amazing, by the way.
Yeah. And on the Canada RPM National Singles Chart, it was a number 1 hit.
I only say that's amazing because this was the full, like, 7-minute version. Was that the one that...
I think there was a radio edit.
Okay.
Yeah, the album version is long.
Song. Yeah, it's a long ass song.
There was like a 4-minute radio edit, I
all
think.
All right, that's fair.
Okay. I think they cut out a couple of Domo Arigatos.
Yeah, because half the song is Domo Arigato,
yeah.
Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Sorry.
So as we mentioned before, it was written for a concept album slash rock opera.
Yeah.
Which was called Kilroy Is Here. Kilroy Was Here.
I'm going to pause you real quick.
Yes.
Until today.
Yes.
I 100% thought this was like Tommy. I totally thought there was a musical that this was a part of.
I don't think it ever like reached the stage. It certainly didn't reach Broadway.
Okay.
But it was conceived as a like a concept album and stage show.
Right. So it was more like the concert was like a show where they kind of acted it out.
I think it was. And as part of the show, there was like a film, which I think they filmed. The videos, especially for 1983, were pretty extensive and pretty, you know, high production values. So I think that was supposed to be part of the show. I don't know what the show turned out to be. I just know that the tour was not financially successful.
I feel like every band who comes up with a concept album is like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
And this is going to be our Tommy.
Barely it.
Other than, and it's not, it's barely is, but other than something like Sgt. Pepper's, like, are there any concept albums that are like beloved classics?
Tommy.
Like, well, and
but that's
recently.
Well, that was like a musical though, right?
But it started as
a concept album.
Oh, it did.
Well, I feel like concept albums, I mean, that's fair. Like there's a, because American Idiot,
I mean, you
they
have to,
wrote that.
Oh, that's,
they
yeah,
wrote,
that's
but they
true.
Wrote American Idiot, I think, in End 21. Was it 21 Guns is what it's called?
No, 21st Century Something. Breakdown.
Oh, yeah, 21st Century Breakdown.
But,
good job.
Yeah, but they, but that, I no think that it. Was, that they had a, in mind to bring that to the stage, but.
Right, well, right. The American Idiot musical is a combination of the two albums.
That's what I'm saying. Right, but that's what I'm saying.
But I think they're, I mean, we're also sort of loosely using the term concept album. There are concept albums that aren't necessarily, that don't tell a story start to finish.
Right.
Like most of Sinatra's albums were concept albums, like on a theme. But they weren't like, here's the character.
Right. But when I say concept album, I mean
like you're a thinking rock more opera. Like,
there's like a story to it. I mean, again, like Sgt. Pepper's, like that's not a, you know, that doesn't have like a strong storyline, but there's
but
a story
framed,
of.
But it's framed.
It's a, this fake band is recording this album.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like the concept.
I'm sorry. Do you not remember the Bee Gees film starring Aerosmith as the bad folk?
I'm not going to lie to you. No, I've never seen it. Although I've
Are
seen,
you serious?
I've seen clips of it.
It's
should I watch it?
I mean,
honestly, is it worth it?
You should watch it.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about it, though.
Okay. No. I mean, I understand that it's like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But I'm asking, like, is it worth it to watch it as the worst thing ever?
I or think
is
so.
It,
okay. I think it's one of those things like, what is happening? how is this happening? But yeah, there's a, I can't think of like a lot of like rock opera albums.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, less rock opera and more like concept. Like, that's the problem with this song. I mean, it was a hit, so I'm somewhat proven wrong. But the problem with the song is it doesn't make any sense outside of the concept.
Right.
Like, you need to know the song on either side to know what the hell's going on.
Right.
Right. Well, there's nothing before it. It's the first track on the album.
That shut me up.
And other concept albums that reached the stage. Jesus Christ Superstar started as a concept album.
Really?
Yeah.
From who?
Andrew Lloyd Webber and...
Really?
Tim Rice. Yeah. So did Evita.
That's weird.
They were both concept albums.
They were just albums?
Yeah.
Huh.
That they eventually brought to the stage.
All right. Now, see, now, I was not thinking of concept album, like, leads to musical. I was thinking of...
Just general
like,
concept
just
albums.
Just general
but,
concept
yeah.
album. But anyway, we can get off this topic because it has led us nowhere.
Yeah.
we have nothing
We've
to
gone around
But
to
nowhere was a lovely
nothing.
Place to be. Mr. Roboto was released as the first single from the album. Mm-hmm. It was changed at the last minute. They were originally planning on releasing Don't Let It End, another song from the album, uh-huh. as the first single. The record company, which was A&M Records, requested that Mr. Roboto be released in its place.
They just loved it, huh?
I guess so. It was, you know, 1983 pop rock synthesized.
They had to strike while the iron was hot, I tells ya.
But they did eventually release Don't Let It End, which was a hit single off the album as well. The album was released February 28th, 1983. The title was based on the famous World War II graffiti.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Kilroy was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like extremely early, but that was almost like an internet meme, that Kilroy was here thing. People would just like do that.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think anybody
what
does.
What the point of it is. Yeah. So it's like a real lolcat situation.
Yeah.
So the...
we should explain, though. Maybe people don't know. It's like Kilroy is here. Is like, isn't it also like the dude with the nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's looking over like a wall or something, and his big nose is going over the wall.
It was big, like, if you ever read, like a comic book from the 60s, like, Mad Magazine used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In the 60s and, like, early 70s. Like, yeah. Just in the background of a scene, someone would have written Kilroy was here.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, who is Kilroy, though?
I don't think anybody knows.
I'm Kilroy.
Wait, what?
Kilroy.
Robot Rachel.
Kilroy.
I was wondering why she's wearing that robot suit all
day. Yeah.
I'm going to work later.
So the album had two hit singles, Mr. Roboto and Don't Let It End. And the album went platinum. And
sounds great.
It does, right?
Sounds terrific.
But it broke their streak of multi-platinum albums.
Poor little Rich Sticks.
Probably because they're outlawing rock and roll.
And it sort of signified a change in the band's style. Like they had been more, you know,
babe.
Yeah, more babe oriented, more a little bit more rock.
Now they were real babe pig in the city.
Yeah, I mean it's a big shit.
And you know, this is sort of more of a synthesizer pop kind of, I don't know, would you call it progressive rock or something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that led to not infighting in the band, but it's sort of what led to artistic differences. Dennis DeYoung ended up leaving the band in 1999.
Hold on. So this started a change in the band that started infighting in 83.
I don't think it started infighting, but it started
17 years later.
Yeah. And definitely check out the music video. It's terrifying.
Oh, it's weird. Yeah. And even with that, at the end, you can't tell whether he's still a robot or not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The video's weird because at the end, the final thing in the video is this like flashback between a robot head and a real person head. A robot head and a real person head.
I'll say this, though. Saying a music video in the 80s doesn't make any sense. It's not exactly a revelation. I wouldn't blame that on Styx.
Right.
I wouldn't say that, you know.
It's not that it doesn't make sense. It's that it is absolutely terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
Why does that girl go into the comic book? Answer me that, aha. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the lesson we learned from this song. All right, we're back. It's time to talk about the lesson we learned from this song. Mr. Roboto, Rachel, what do you got?
Well, what I've learned is that in the future, the most important degree you could get is a correspondence course in robotics. Because it will come in handy later when you are put in prison.
Yeah, sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can I say this,
yeah.
Rachel? The thing you just said?
Uh-huh.
Domo arigato.
Domo, domo.
Domo.
Domo, domo.
Michael.
What I learned from Mr. Roboto by Styx is if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Technology dehumanizes. Make yourself a robot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. At least for a little... But there's nothing else you could do, you know? Basically, become the movie Sleeper.
These robots are everywhere. I'm going to be one of them.
Yes. Yep. It's true.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. Conform, really, is what we're saying. Conform.
Yeah.
Yep.
Give in.
Yeah.
Take what makes you you, shove it down as far as it'll go.
Yep.
Sure.
And then cover it with cement and hide it.
Exactly.
Forever.
Daniel, if that is your real name.
It is.
Oh.
I'm going to say this. Learn a second language. Okay?
Yep.
Now, will it help you escape from prison in the future?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Doesn't matter. It's just nice to know things.
Yep.
Okay?
We're in a global community now.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And you don't know. Maybe Japan will still take over the world.
They might.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Because it's definitely going to be China.
Now it's China. Yeah, now it's China. It's
totally going to be China.
This would be, yeah.
And here's the thing. The Japanese, they like cute stuff. They was going to be fun when they took over the world. China, not so much into the cute.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Nope.
So, Japan good, China bad.
Stop.
What is going to happen?
I don't know.
Michael, they can't even get us in China.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan Macri.
I'm Michael Gazelle.
And I'm Rachel Oakes.
We'll be back next week with another great story song. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Domo arigato.
Domo.
Domo.
Now everyone can see.
All right, and we're back.
Mm-hmm.
That was Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, by Styx, a classic episode. I do want to say one thing, listening to this.
Yeah.
Rachel, I made you a promise in this episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you caught that. I made you a promise that I would watch the film Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, yes. That's right.
And Rachel, yep. I have something to confess.
Uh-oh.
That is a promise I broke. I've never seen the film.
It has been
I'm so sorry. Well, I heard it and I was just like, oh no, I never watched that. I definitely told you I would watch it and I've never watched it. So
just like, I've been so busy.
Rachel, I have some more news.
Yeah.
Some more bad news.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to watch it still. So I'm sorry.
You are missing out.
I know.
No,
I know.
You're not.
I mean,
it doesn't get better with age. It's not like fine wine.
The thing you have to understand is back then I had the time to watch ironically a terrible movie. I don't have who's got time for that anymore. I don't have time to watch good movies.
No.
Much less watch bad movies purposely. Yeah. So good episode though, Rachel. Michael, any other thoughts?
I love the idea of us listening to an episode from the past about a song that takes place in the future, and now here we are in the present talking about it.
It's great.
Covers all the bases.
And in fairness, the Styx future might be this present, thinking about it. You know?
Well, hilarious. I just want to say hilariously, because we're now at this point in the future, all those dudes from the 70s and 80s who were so terrified that rock music would be outlawed are 100% the conservatives who are like, we gotta outlaw the rap music. Like they are have completely turned into what they were afraid of, which is what happens.
Yeah. There's a really funny part that it made me laugh and I was like, oh my God, this is just so, isn't this the way life is now? We were talking about technology and I forget who it was. I think it was me. I said, yeah, we're actually all on our phones doing this together, like how technology separates everybody. And it was like, we all had a big laugh about us recording all this on our phones in separate rooms, not talking to each other. And guys, I got news for you. That's literally what we're doing right now. I mean, not on our phones, but we're all on our computers in separate rooms recording the podcast.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Something we could not have imagined.
No.
Back then.
It was as crazy as getting into the carcass of a robot and walking out of a prison.
I also, if you wanted to see how dated this episode is, we mentioned the concept of memes, and my example was lolcat.
Yes.
Which was a thing that until I heard myself say it on this episode, I forgot was a thing. It's been a while. In internet years, it's like, that's like the Cretaceous period. Like it's literally like lost to the sands of time.
Well, I just like to say that, you know, Michael, you gave me a little bit of flack for saying that Fun wouldn't have the same staying power as Queen. Are you
When I said that was not a slight against Queen. I love Queen, you know that.
that was just a surprise that you were so certain that fun was not going to last through that calendar year, and they did not.
Yeah. You're like, no, we will definitely still be talking about fun in 2024. And, I mean, in fairness, we are, but for a very different reason.
I mean, their last top 20 hit was the year 2013. And what year is this? This has got to be 2013, right? Somewhere in there.
The future.
Probably.
Once you get past the year 2000, it's all just the future. It all just mushes into the future. It doesn't really matter anymore. So
after it's Space Odyssey, I mean, what are you going to do? It's like, okay, we hit the future. Let's move on with our lives.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this classic episode. We'll be back the first week of February. If you're listening to this in real time, if you're listening to the archives or something years later, you don't really care. But for those of you listening in real time, we'll be back the first week of February with a new story song and a new episode. So come back for that. That's going to be great. If you could follow us on the socials like Instagram, Facebook, Threads, follow us on those socials. If you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever your podcast, we would certainly appreciate it, and we'll read it on the show. Come back next episode for another great story song. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Our theme music was written and performed by Jason Flowers. Find him on Twitter at Jason Flowers with a Z. Some of our bumper music was provided by Purple Planet Music.
Our logo was designed by Dan Geva. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @story_song, and on Instagram at @StorySongPodcast.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. The Story Song Podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Go to pantheonpodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Story Song.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.